Hello. Welcome. Wow, there's so many of you. Great. So my name's Reiju, and I am one of the monks here. And I'm not usually in this position. I'm filling in for a variety of people tonight. So the person I'm filling in for right now is our Shuso, Jiu, who asked me to share with you some upcoming events, one in particular. So this Saturday, there is a half-day Zazen Kai from 1:30 to 5:30, and that's a really good opportunity to come deep in practice in a way that offers a lot of flexibility. There's some open periods of sitting. There's opportunity for Sanzen, and it's 4 hours long. So if you're curious about that, there's more information on the website. You can also talk to me about it, or anyone else with a Rakusuwa can help you. And there's also other things upcoming that are also on the website. So please check that out. There's also a bunch of things on the blue bulletin board out there in the room we were just on. So lots of stuff upcoming. Okay, I think I'm done being Jiu.
Don't go too far.
I will come back and watch it.
Yes.
You're all around it, as I said. Please make our show. May the sacred presence of the one who said he would abide in this his teaching be our guide. May we follow his glorious example and tread with unfaltering step this noble path until we too shall attain enlightenment. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all other ones, bodhisattvas, mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, maha prajna paramita. Welcome, everybody. My name is Minshu. I was not here last week. I was having a rather complicated surgery on my nose, and I have evidence for that on my face. But there's been some surprising developments for that. So I was excited about coming in today and having a presentation and delving into this precept, this first precept. But the effects of the anesthesia, it was a rather complicated 3.5 hour operation, and it's been really difficult to concentrate and put anything together. So I did bring something tonight, but I fear it's incoherent. And so I was going to present it anyway, because I thought, hey, there's lots of wisdom in this room, and we can all play a game afterwards of like, what did you mean when he said, I thought we could make it fun, you know? But we're still going to have fun, but I've asked Reiju to address this precept, and I think that there'll just be so much more coherence, and like I say, we're still going to get together in the groups and share with one another, and it'll still be learning and it'll still be fun. So before we get to that though, I missed last week, and Kukumi gave me a rundown. It looks like he went through quite a lot of material, but I'm interested in the homework assignment that we've been involved with for the last few weeks. The Kyoji Kaiman, we've been, some of us have been reading in the morning, and then in the evening, kind of recalling the day and looking for what you might call sticky points or difficulties without delving into them, just noticing them and just logging them kind of in the mind. And I'm interested if we have any feedback from what might have transpired there. Does anybody have any insight or anything to share from the homework?
Thanks.
I wasn't here last week either.
Oh, but, I bet you were having more fun than me.
Well,
oh, maybe not, sorry.
But I have been doing the recitation at night, mm-hmm. and I've been sometimes doing it with my kids, which has been really interesting. Mm-hmm. I like give them something to draw on, and they're sitting there and they're drawing, and I just do the recitation. And like, I love doing it with them. It's just really lovely. Even though the first few times they didn't interact with it all, and by like the third time they're just like, "Are you reading this again?"
Yeah.
How many times are you going to see
this? Nice. Are you going to continue doing it?
Yeah. I like it's you know, I kind of trade off with my husband who does bedtime routine. It's part of the bedtime routine. Mm-hmm. But it's provided some interesting like times for me to talk about, well, why am I doing this over and over again? Yeah. And also, like, you know, what do you think about this precept? And also, like, I've been, this is like my going on 3+ years of being here and practicing Zen. And I'm really starting to like just get in a like kind of like a flow state with the chanting, and that's really nice. I was not a fan of the chanting the first year and a half-ish of this year, and now it's really kind of like, wow, this is just pleasant. So that's happening.
Thank you. Yeah, I also was not a fan of the chanting, particularly. This material, I found it like it was in my mind it felt like it was telling me what to do and less poetic than a lot of the other things, and I love the poetry in that, even though I don't understand it, like it's like I like the feeling of it, you know. So yeah, it took me a long time to love this, but I love this too. Thank you. Anybody that's maybe been doing it more than a year or two, and how different it may be, is it? I mean, does that come up for anybody?
Hey, this is Yukio. I've had a couple observations recently. One, since I'm closer to having it memorized, it's an interesting thing because when I'm close to having it memorized but it's not down pat, then I actually have to concentrate on it in a way that makes me more present, because my mind can kind of wander for a little bit, but if it wanders, then I'll keep going for a little while and then I'll like drop off and kind of lose it. And so it's actually a really nice reminder to like really follow along with like the like what it means, and so there's a depth there that has grown. And then another thing that happens occasionally is there's a few spots that I'll suddenly like notice, like this evening I noticed the word we and the part on contrition, and I was like, oh, that's interesting, I've just like sort of skipped over that part. And so I went on a little bit of like noticing that, and so like it kind of expands over time in my experience.
Mm-hmm. Thank
you. Hi, I'm Benny. For me, I've done the recitation of the Kyoji Kaimon, particularly when I was having a hard time. Like, I would just turn to it. I would just, like, recite it. And I could really feel the precepts. And it's kind of interesting now. My life has been going kind of well. And to do reciting the Kyoji Kaimon, there's been days when I'm like, I don't really need to say this. my mouth is dry in the morning. I don't really, I feel my mouth, like, struggling to bring out the words, but I just say it and just recite it, and that can feel different too. And it's kind of amazing how there's this sort of vast, expansive nature to it.
Yeah. What about in the evening? Are you going through the day and just kind of touching times when it sounds like things are going well, but there's always some, you know?
Yeah. I've had a hard time doing recollection. It's been kind of like, because things are so going, like, there's kind of this feeling when things are going well, like, oh, I don't need to really think. think about the day. Yeah, like, yeah, there's not, or like, it's a mundane day. Like, okay, there's nothing really happening.
Yeah.
And that's kind of tricky for me too, just to be like, okay, I need to do this, or how about this time? I can kind of brush it away. I'm not sure how to work with that.
I think sometimes it's still worth, like, getting away from, it's still worth doing, even when you feel like, oh, this doesn't seem like there's much complication, or like life feels simple or whatever. I think you might be surprised that things do show up, even when things are rolling along and you're winning and like it feels like, oh yeah, everything's going right. It's still worth doing, and it'll still just make an acknowledgement of like what's like things that are going on that you're registering in the body, and just getting that refinement of like what's going on, you know. I think it's more valuable to do it. It's more valuable to do it maybe when everything's going well, because you'll still find stuff, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah, try. Anyway, yeah, it's good. Thank you.
I'll give it a try. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Julia. I actually have a question.
Yeah.
So, can you also notice like a moment that was like particularly lit?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that can be like a preset moment as well?
Yeah. At this point, we're just noticing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So it doesn't have to be like, oh, like this is really crap.
No, I get like, okay, yeah, the judgment, the analyzing, we're just kind of like just getting used to noticing. That's like really important.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So good is, yeah, no, it's good. But then keep looking, you know, keep going through the day.
Okay.
And you can do it in bed, like it doesn't need to be done in a formal way. I often do it, like you can do it before you fall asleep, you know what I mean? It's like just a few minutes, just, it doesn't need to be so... It doesn't need to be a ceremony, you know? Sometimes that's good, though. Okay, thank you. I'm going to pass this to our utility player.
Okay, so we're talking about the first precept, the first grave precept, which I will just read aloud to you. Oh, that's not the right one. There we go. Do not kill. Cultivate and encourage life. In the realm of the everlasting Dharma, holding no thought of killing is the precept of not killing. The life of Buddha increases with life. No life can be cut off. Continue the life of Buddha. Do not kill Buddha. So, I think the first thing that makes sense to me right now is I want to read that to you again another couple times and just let it like wash over you and see what words or phrases stick out. See what feelings, memories, images come up. And then maybe, if you are willing, some of you could share those. Yes?
I'm noticing a little feedback on your mic.
I'm noticing that too.
I wonder if you turned it down a little bit at that point?
Maybe it would.
I got it.
Thanks, Dale.
I did too.
Try speaking.
Hello, is that better? Yeah? Okay, great. Thanks, Ben. Okay, so if it feels comfortable, you could close your eyes. I'm gonna read it to you 3 times. Do not kill. Cultivate and encourage life. In the realm of the everlasting Dharma, holding no thought of killing is the precept of not killing. The life of Buddha increases with life. No life can be cut off. Continue the life of Badeth. Do not kill Badeth. Do not kill. Cultivate and encourage life. In the realm of the everlasting Dharma, holding no thought of killing is the precept of not killing. The life of Badeth increases with life. No life can be cut off. Continue the life of Badeth. Do not kill Badeth. Do not kill. Cultivate and encourage life. In the realm of the everlasting Dharma, holding no thought of killing is the precept of not killing. The life of Badeth increases with life. No life can be cut off. Continue the life of Badeth. Do not kill Badeth. Let's just take a few breaths and let it sink in. So, if anyone is willing, I'm curious what popped. Roka is right behind you.
My name's Roka. In Zazen earlier, I was noticing just kind of rolling feelings. I'm going through a recent breakup and just feelings of resentment, anger, sadness. And then in Do Not Kill, cultivate and encourage life really speaks loudly. Mm-hmm. My ex, I don't know what he has going on. So there will probably be a lot I don't know, and it just feels right, encouraging, wishing him well, encouraging his life, whatever that is, moving forward.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Allison, I think listening to it on repeat, what strikes me is the kind of koanic nature of it, if that's a word.
Sure.
No life can be cut off. Do not kill. If you aren't thinking of, no thought of killing, but there's no reason to think about killing if no life can be cut off.
Mm.
Right? It feels like a math problem that does not equal on either side. There's no way to square it.
Mm. Thanks, Allison.
Somehow the word cultivate triggered something in me, and I suddenly had image of like gardening, farming, but then all of a sudden I thought, well, that's like lots of times you're replacing something with something else, like you're killing the weeds to get this to go, and then I suddenly had the next line, have no thought of killing. I thought it's more like gathering something from the forest, encouraging that without saying anything else has to change. And it just sort of, that image of cultivation and what it means stuck in my head.
Thanks, Dave.
This precept is interesting to me because I have for a while personally been not killing bugs in recognition that when Buddha means don't kill, you're supposed to extend that to everything possible. Although that kind of expanded recently because I got my first cat last month, and there was a bug in the house, and she was just kind of she wasn't even looking to kill it. She was kind of tapping at it, just kind of looking at it curiously. She's like a super house cat. And I looked at her and I was like, isn't this supposed to be your job? And my boyfriend's like, don't encourage her to kill it. That's her karma that you're ruining if you do that. And I'm like, but is it her nature? Like, isn't, well, I guess it's not her nature, but it's other cats' nature. And is it necessarily bad for them if they do it? Like, I don't know. So I'm like, okay, I guess I won't encourage Sophia to kill bugs. And we just will be a bug nice household. But I still do wonder what that means for, like, the animal cycles and, like, we technically do, like, kill or participate or pay into the killing process for food. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. And even plants, like, we're beginning, at least the Western science, like, there's a lot of indigenous knowledges that or systems that have acknowledged that plants also have consciousness for some time. But, like, no matter what we eat, it has consciousness, and we are kind of killing it. Mm-hmm. So how do you do that in a way that's, like, the most cultivation bending rather than elimination bending, I guess?
These are good questions.
A lot to think about.
The only thing I would add is that we're not separate from cats in terms of our nature. We also have a nature that inclines us to kill, as you're pointing out. Mm-hmm. Right behind you, Jitsa.
This is Dio. I was just letting it washing over me and thinking about the feeling of hearing those words and how, like, I have killed many things in my life, and, like, looking at that with introspection, like, killing something has, like, a really deliberate, like, or a really, like, obvious feeling. And knowing that feeling, I can see it come up in all other aspects of my life. Mm. Like, pretty much any time I'm not wanting an experience, like cutting off some sort of my experience, like, I wish this wasn't this way. Like, I think that's what the thought of killing is getting at for me, because, like, I wish it wasn't this way. It feels the same as killing.
Thanks, Dale.
This is Donald. A few people have said cultivate and encourage life, and that's also what really stands out to me, especially during this, because I like how it kind of, it makes it very positive and makes you, it's not just don't kill, but, like, actively try to help and actively try and understand, you know, the life. You know, you're actively involved in it. And I really like encourage it. We have an orchid in our house right now that is kind of going through its blooming cycle, and it has about 5 flowers that are just about to bloom. And, like, every single day it's like, oh, you can do it, come on, I believe in you. And that's encouraged, that's just what I thought of.
Nice. Thanks, Donald. There was one back here, Jesus.
Hey, I'm Jared.
Jared.
I've always, I think, felt a little bit of the tension that's in this between the don't kill and the cultivate side of things. Mm-hmm. I've, you know, in the past been vegetarian because I focused on the don't kill side of things, and then I've kind of transitioned to thinking, okay, well, that also means not cultivating animals, not bringing them into the world to be vegetarian. So I've just always felt this, the tension between those two things of not bringing life in versus taking life away.
Nice, thank you.
Jared. Is there someone over here?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jared, also a vegetarian.
Wow. Jared's vegetarian, Jared.
Yeah. Yeah, what struck me when we were thinking through the resuscitations of this was, when I'm working with animals, you know, there comes a point where you do have to consider euthanizing, usually to alleviate suffering in that case. And I was kind of struck on the nature of that because in a sense it is a form of cultivation, because you're trying to cultivate the dignity of their life, and you know, and then how you bury them also kind of continues that cycle if you bring it into a sense where they are able to return to the earth and kind of add into that cycle of regrowth. So I guess that just started getting me thinking on how that might apply to humans as well.
Thank you, John. Hi, I'm Lulu. Not much came to mind when you were reciting it three times, but after hearing everyone talk, my first thought when it said, holding no thought of killing is the precept of not killing. I was like, so if you just don't think about killing someone while you're killing them, that's fine? Like, that doesn't make any sense. But hearing what other people were saying kind of got me thinking that holding no thought of killing almost brings you to reality where there is no birth and no death. Because everything that we kill doesn't really die. And so of course we do our best to not intentionally kill, but we still do. We kill plants and like the bugs on our body, but holding no thought of killing, we realize they're not really dead. And so that's kind of what I was thinking of.
Thanks, Lulu. Musa, and then I think Musa can wrap us up for right now.
Hi, I'm Musa. So do not kill, create and encourage life. Like in the last phrase, continue the life of Buddha, do not kill Buddha. So for me, it was just like a lot of things that came to me, not a lot, but quite a few. It was just, like, don't kill, like, energy in myself or others for the moment. For lack of a better word, like, stealing, you know, not letting somebody else, you know, live, and I guess before the cultivating comes in. And also, like, self-reflection of the life of Buddha and, you know, life of Buddha within self, and not to, so like, to be able to be my authentic self, and I've been doing a lot of work on that so that I can truly show up for others when I, in a true sense, as opposed to the way that my ego mind thinks it's showing up for others. So yeah.
Thanks. So I want to say, Minshew said several times while we were talking about this evening, there's so much wisdom in this room. And thank you for demonstrating that wisdom. I heard a lot of different aspects of this coming forward. Like, some of you were pointing to really literal ways in which killing happens, and some of you were pointing to really sort of subtle ways in which things happen. Killing happens. Several of you pointed to like the positive aspect of this precept being held equally to the do not part, so like the cultivating and encouraging life, and what is it to hold those both? Thinking about gardening or feeding ourselves. So these are rich, there's a lot in there, and they are koans that we can work with every day, every moment. Do you have anything you want to say right now?
No.
Okay. So I sort of think it would be useful to think about kind of explicitly the different ways in which it can happen literally and the different ways in which it can happen really subtly. And this might get a little uncomfortable, which is good, because what we're doing right now is ethics, and it's uncomfortable, and we're thinking carefully about ourselves in the world and ourselves in relation to other beings. So if it's uncomfortable, that's okay.
You can take a deep breath. You can do what you need to. But as I was saying, like, our nature is not essentially different than natures of cats or other carnivores. Like, we are literally killing things on a really regular basis. So some people kill other humans, either because for all sorts of reasons, sometimes intentionally in a moment of rage or intentionally as a plan. Sometimes humans kill other humans accidentally, like in car accidents. Sometimes we kill intentionally, but as someone was pointing out, as an act of kindness. There's lots of reasons that we kill. I recently took antibiotics intentionally because I wanted to kill the bacteria that were living in my sinuses. I noticed that when I drive my car, I kill lots of bugs. I am in charge of the kitchen here, and I put out mouse traps and ant poison. And that's also me holding the precepts. I'm not saying that I am perfect at it, because it's an everyday practice for many, many, many lifetimes and never ends. But killing is not separate from what we are. So there's literal ways in which all of us kill things all the time for all sorts of reasons. So that feels important to land because it's really uncomfortable. It's really uncomfortable for me anyway to think about the ways in which I kill things, literally. But as some of you pointed out, there's also like subtle ways in which we kill things. And sometimes that's easier to think about because it's less literal. It maybe doesn't feel the same way. Like, when I kill a mouse and I take it out of the trap, sometimes there's literal blood on my hands from having done that. And if I think someone makes a joke and I sort of roll my eyes and dismiss them and they were like aiming for connection, that's also a kind of killing. If I've killed a connection that they were trying to make, and it's not as literal in the same sense as putting out mouse traps, but it also has an impact. And like, there's variations of feeling tone in the body and in the ways that I try to rationalize either of those things to myself that are pretty familiar. So it's less like a separate act and more like a variation of the same kind of act. Do you think it might be nice to have small groups?
Yeah, should we do that?
Yeah.
We've got enough time.
I think so too. Do you guys think it would be nice to have small groups?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, cool. So, maybe organize yourselves into groups of three or four, and then I will offer you some questions to discuss in your group.
Sweet.
One, two, three, go. Also, maybe like shake your body out because you were just thinking about killing things.
Yeah.
And maybe cultivate and encourage some life by taking care of your body. Okay. You all ready?
Yes.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to offer you a couple questions. I will repeat them a couple times, and you can decide in your group which question or questions you want to talk about. So one question is about the literal version of this. What ways do you kill, literally? And what is the experience of that? And as you are talking about it, you might notice, A, like what your body feels like, B, what sort of like rationalizations or ideas you're having around it, and C, like, yeah, like story and body sensation. I think if you try to land story and body sensation, that might be useful. The other is to like lean further towards the subtle side. In what ways this killing happen that's sort of more subtle or less literal or less direct. One way that you might handle this is a way that we did it when I was doing a yoga teacher training, and one person would just ask another person, how do you kill? And then the other person would respond, and then they'd say, okay, how do you kill? And just, you can keep asking the same question. And it's kind of intense, but really useful. So that's one thing to do. So literal end of killing, subtle end of killing, or just asking, like, how do you kill? You can also do the flip side. Literal, how do you cultivate and encourage life? Subtle, how do you cultivate and encourage life? Next, ask continually. Ask maybe like 5 or 6 times in a row. And I would suggest trying one, how do you kill, and one, how do you cultivate and encourage life? Because it's like, it can get easy to get stuck in either one, and both of those are balanced in the precept. So whichever one you choose to do, literal killing, subtle killing, or just repeating the question, try it with the cultivate and encourage life aspect too. Yeah? Yay! About 10 minutes, go for it. Okay. Good discussions?
Yes.
Yes? Wonderful. Will you tell us about this? That's fine, Liz. You don't have to. Jen would like to tell us about their discussion.
This is Jen. Yeah, I feel like I had an exciting insight, insight. I realized I hadn't thought a lot about cultivating life in a figurative way. Like, I've thought about killing in a figurative way, but not about cultivating life in a figurative way. And I realized a couple of things. I think that I cultivate life when I listen deeply to others. And I think that I cultivate life when I practice gratitude and when I give attention to what is in a pleasant and celebratory way. And when I connected with that last one, I was like, oh, and I think that the opposite of that, the killing side of the gratitude is just ignoring, is not paying attention. And I'd thought about being actively dismissive or being mean or telling someone to stop. These are all active killing. But I feel like there's this sort of passive killing of just ignoring and taking for granted. And I think it was helpful for me to conceptualize it in that way.
Thanks, Jen. When you were talking about your figurative ways of cultivating and encouraging life, I could really feel the joy in my body.
Thanks.
Yes, let's see. He's going to share with us after.
This is Mess. I appreciated the rapid fire invitation, Raju. I had someone in my group ask, and it was just interesting to see what came up. When I asked the first, how do I cultivate life, my attention, similarly, what I give my fullest possible attention to, and then the next one was feeding people, which I wasn't really expecting. And another question that kind of came up as we were chatting further was just this idea of, there is a literal killing of self, suicide, but I'm kind of interested in that subtler, how are the ways that I kind of negate my own spirit, and especially in social interactions for myself, kind of choosing someone else's comfort over my willingness to say something that might feel hard. So interesting to look at that.
Thanks for sharing that. Keishan.
Hi, yes, good evening. Thank you so much for the breadth of questions that you asked. In looking at literal killing, for me, mosquitoes something that I show very little mercy for. And I recognize that it's so deeply tied with having malaria as a child for many years. Mm-hmm. And then as an adult, when I lived in Argentina, I contracted dengue fever and was very ill. So there's this memory deeply embedded that mosquitoes represent tremendous fever and pain and a lot of dukkha. But it's really to watch how that seed of vengeance and revenge is deeply planted. So that if one lands on me, I've gotten to the place where I can watch it for a while and let it go away. But if I'm not thinking at all, automatically I'll slap and kill it. So yeah, it's kind of embarrassing in essence to really acknowledge to myself how deeply that's in my mind in relationship to you are not going to bite me again or make me sick. So thanks for the reflection on that.
Thank you, Kishan. I think we have time for one more if someone wants to. Ah, Allison.
I feel like a lot of this discussion was kind of heavy, and I was kind of surprised at the end when we talked about encouraging life to realize that my kind of gut reaction was negative because it feels very kind of trite, sunshine and rainbows and like encourage joy and happiness. But when I thought about it, I thought encouraging life is encouraging kind of everything, because life includes all sorts of pain and messes and injury and illness. Like those are all just parts of life. Mm-hmm. And to really encourage life is to encourage, and I thought about like young relatives, and encouraging them to live life means also encouraging them to go mess up and make messes and get their heart broke and do all of it, not just the sunshine and rainbows.
That's lovely. Thanks, Allison. Okay, so I think we will shift towards Vespers. And I also thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and for being really thoughtful in the ways in which you shared with each other and with the rest of our group. Do you have anything you want to end with?
No, I think we've got the homework. We'll carry on with the homework, and Cuckoo will be back next week.
Yeah, and I will be out of here. Thanks, everyone.